1 Samuel chapter number 30. And Pastor, thank you for the privilege of being here. Sarah, thank you for the beautiful special. And it is a joy to be here at Anchor Baptist Church and a part of your Faith Harbor Week. And I have been looking forward to this week and to this time together, and appreciate your pastor taking the risk to bring someone in he does not know. And I'm going to do my best to make him look as good as I possibly can today and tomorrow. And he may never have me back, but hopefully it'll go all right in the time that we have together. I am a native Buckeye. I was born in Greenville, Ohio. And my mom and dad met in the state of Ohio. My dad was a quarterback. My mom was a gymnast. And then God redirected their life, and he went to Bible college and became a pastor, and has been pastoring over 30 years now in Northern California. My grandfather helped lay the block at Dayton Baptist Temple. And so the Rule family has some heritage and some good churches in this state, and I've had the privilege of preaching in some other churches in this state. So it's always good to be back home. And I'm really from California, because I moved out there when I was young, so I wasn't really reared in Ohio, but I was born here. So whatever that counts for, wanted you to know that. So then I got to tell this story about Sarah and Andrew. I cannot take credit for their meeting, but I can take credit for their relationship today. And here's how. When I worked for my dad, I was the administrator of our school for a season. Pastor mentioned that. And for 6 years, Sarah worked with me on our team and was my secretary and did an amazing job, as she's doing for Pastor here today. Well, while we were going through that era in our school, of course, social media was coming on the scene, and we were navigating those waters and how to handle that and so on. And so we had a meeting one summer, and we decided, I think we should allow some social media, maybe some Facebook activity, and teach the children about social media and filters and all these kinds of a thing. And so we decided we would launch kind of a beta test of how we would do it. And we started with the staff. And so all the staff was allowed to get on social media and Facebook and so on. Well, that lasted for about 24 to 36 hours. And my dad came to my office and he said, Gabe, what in the world are you doing? And I said, what do you mean? We talked about, you know, maybe I don't want anybody on social media. And so we got all the staff back together and said, never mind, we're not going to be on it. Turn it off. But in that 24 to 36 hour window, whatever it was, Sarah was able to get reconnected on Facebook and found a friend request from Andrew. And they had met before, but that kind of rekindled and reconnected them. And now today they're married, serving here, so you owe it all to me. But anyway, I'm just teasing. But I did have a small part in that in just a little way. It's a privilege to be here. And I love the Lord. I love serving the Lord. I love being in the ministry. And I love pastors and I love churches. I had the privilege of growing up in a pastor's home, and I've had the privilege my entire adult life to serve a pastor, and I just love what I get to do. And it's a joy to be here, to be celebrating a man of God to come and to carve out a place and to stay 29 years and start and pastor a church. That means something. And I'm excited to be here and to help just in that celebration, be an encouragement to your pastor and to your church. So thank you for being here and being a part of this morning service. And I hope and pray that I can be a help and a blessing to you. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And if you would, out of reverence of God's word, if we could stand for the reading of God's word. And let's look together at verse number 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were within. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the joyous occasion in which we gather together this morning in your house on the 29th anniversary of this dear servant in this church, and how you're using them as a lighthouse in this community to proclaim the love of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless our time together in this room. I pray that it would not be wasted nor taken for granted. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, and your power. I pray that you give me your anointing this morning. I pray that you'd hide me behind your cross and give me just the words that you'd have me to preach this morning. It may be an encouragement and a challenge to this dear church and these dear people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever had a bad day? Boy, sometimes as you think through life, you think of maybe some bad days. In fact, even coming here, we're right in the middle back home at our church and our vacation Bible school. And my wife was teaching and I was teaching a parenting class. And we wanted to be a part of that as much as we could. So we did that last night. And then we left and we were going to catch a red eye and get here and be a part of this meeting. And we're on our way leaving the church. And my wife said, "Sweetheart, I don't know where my driver's license is." And I said, "Well, that's going to be a problem if we're going to get on this plane, you know, in a little while." And so she's going through the purse, and it's not one purse, fellas. It's multiple purses. And so we got to go through this purse and that purse, and we're looking this place and that place. And she said, "Honey, I think I might know where it is." And we get home, and it was there. And thank the Lord, and we got on the road, and we made good time. And then parking at LAX is a zoo and a challenge. And so one of my team members had found a spot that we might park, and we pulled up, and everything was dark. And there was like two suspicious character standing out on the corner, and I thought, what did we sign up for? You know, are they going to sell my car while I'm gone, or, you know, what's going to happen exactly, you know? But we got on the plane and we made it, and we'll let you know if our car's there when we get back or not. But sometimes things don't go the way we think they're going to go. In fact, I've got some pictures of some people who had a rather bad day. Let me show these to you. This one right here, this fellow over here, and the car and the water coming up on him. That was a rough day indeed. Here's another one out hunting, and here's this lion. Kind of wondering what this guy's doing in this tent. And man, if I were hunting and I saw that, I'd just quit hunting. I don't think I would ever go back out. But here's another guy having a rough day. And here's the concrete coming down on the car. And I'm sure the driver feels bad about that. And then here's the one I like. Here's the coffin coming out of the hearse. And I'm sure that guy was looking for a different job after that particular day. But man, we've all had bad days indeed. And we come to the life of David in this moment, and he's experiencing a bad day. He's experiencing a very difficult time in his life and in his leadership of the people in whom God had given him to care for. He and his men had just journeyed 3 days' journey from Aphek to Ziklag. David had been in camp with the Philistines, and now they were going to battle against King Saul, and David was there. He was part of the Philistines in his heart. He didn't want to fight his own, but he was there and part of the Philistines, and God had preordained it, and some princes in the Philistines' army didn't exactly like that David was with them. They were fearful that we're going to get into battle with the Israelites, and David is going to side with his own people, and they're going to be coming at us from all sides, and he's going to be killing us. We don't want him to go. And they went to King Achish, and they said, "Hey, David can't be going with us." And so King Achish goes to David and says, "Listen, you've been with us all this time. You haven't caused me any trouble. You've been great within the land. I don't have a problem with you, but everybody else here does. They're a little uneasy about you being on our side and fighting your own people. So you and your men are going to have to go back." And so from Aphek, they travel about 3 days' journey, David and his men, back to Ziklag. And they traveled along the coastal plain. It was about a 55-mile hike that they took, 3 days' journey, back to their hometown of Ziklag. And while they were gone, over that extended period of time, their women and their children left there vulnerable. The Amalekites came in and they ransacked the city. They take all of the women and children and they leave it desolate. And that is the scene that David comes upon. And then David, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, I'm in the ministry. I love the ministry. And in the ministry, you talk to a lot of people. And we often tell people, "David encouraged himself with the Lord his God. Bless God, that's what you need to do." And it sounds good. And it preaches good. But have you ever stopped to think, what does that mean?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so I've had a bad day, or it's not going the way that I want, and I'm supposed to encourage myself with the Lord. What does that mean? What does it look like? How do you do that? How do you go from discouragement to encouragement in the Lord your God? What is the process of that? That's what I want to look at this morning. How can we encourage ourselves in the Lord our God? Now, why did David need this encouragement? What was the reason for it? And we see this story developing in David's life as he's been delivered from having to fight his own people with the Philistine army. But now he comes home and there's a much more tragic problem unfolding before his very eyes. We see the destruction of his land in verse 2 of our text. And they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way, so that when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And so David and his men come back to Ziklag, and it has been destroyed, and their families and their belongings, all of their possessions, they are gone. Now, the Amalekites had been a pesky foe of God's people for years. In fact, King Saul was commanded by the Lord to annihilate them. He did not. David in his life had been in battle with them prior to this. And now here they are bothering and pestering God's people once again. And God said, these should be blotted out. The remembrance should be no more. That was God's plan for the Amalekites, but it had not yet been done. And the Bible says they came in, they ransacked Ziklag, and they carry away the women and children. The phrase carried them away literally means they drove them off. Like a herd of cattle, they drove these precious family members of these men with David while they were gone away from their homeland. Now, why would God allow something like that to happen? Here, David and his men come back and their home burned. Wife gone. Children gone. No doubt, all presumed dead. Everything, total loss. Life flipped upside down.
Right.
I got a call last week at 11 p.m. Brother Rule, you need to come right away to such and such residence. The police are here. My wife and I drove to the house. We walked in the house. There had been domestic violence. There had been threatenings. We sat down at a table with a mother trembling and young girls. And she said, Brother Rule, tonight changed my life. This was a life-altering occurrence. In David's life, this was a life-altering occurrence. This changed everything. He and the men coming and feeling like everything had been gone. And maybe the Lord allowed this because he didn't want David in the land of the Philistines anyway. And he wanted David back where he was supposed to be. But no doubt there was great destruction. And David needed the encouragement of the Lord. But we see the distress that David is under. The Bible says in verse number 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. There was so much sorrow that they expressed it in every way they knew how. And when they had exhausted every way they knew how to express the sorrow, there was still more in their heart. You ever been there? You ever been having a moment, a day, a season where you didn't even know how to articulate the way you felt, but the way you felt was not good? That's exactly where David was at. David was sorrowing and weeping before the Lord. The men were, until they had no more power to do it. They didn't know what else to say. David, his own wives were taken. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and David was greatly distressed. It means that he was pressed into a tight corner, the way that a potter would press the clay into a mold. That's how David felt. I'm backed into a corner. I've lost everything. And these men that are near and dear to me, I mean, we've been in battle in the trenches together, and while they've been following me with loyalty, they've just lost everything. They're weeping unto the Lord with no power in which to weep. I don't know what to do. And at times in life, we can be overwhelmed with our problems. The Bible says in John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you that you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now listen, part of being in this world is we're going to have tribulation. Now, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's part of it. It's not going to be a bed of roses every day. It's not going to be sunshine every day. There's going to be some valleys in this journey called life. That's part of the course that God has for you and I, and had for David as well. What do we do in times like that? The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Amen.
So David, the destruction of the land, completely distressed. Nothing else could be done. And then look at the danger he's in verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people, now the men around him, spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. So the followers of David, making this long trek back to Ziklag from Aphek, finding the city burned, wives and children gone, belongings taken, feeling like everything had been lost, they're grieving in their own way, and what do? Get mad at David. Which is the answer for every follower, right? When something goes wrong, get mad at the leader, right? And that's what they're doing. In fact, they get so upset with the occurrence that's just taken place, they get together and say, I know the solution, let's stone David. Now let's stop and think for a moment. Does stoning David rebuild Ziklag? No. Does stoning David return wives? No. Does stoning David return children? No. Does stoning David return the goods? No. Isn't it interesting the solutions you and I can come up with in our own thinking and our own power? When we're down, when we're discouraged, that's not the time to be making life-altering decisions. I've sat in too many meetings and counseling sessions with people that were discouraged and said, you know what I think I need to do? I need to move here, or I need to do this, or I need to get out of that, or I need to change this. Whoa. Oftentimes in a season of discouragement, you don't need to be making any life-altering decision because it's not going to help the situation. They were convinced, you know what will make this better? Let's kill the king. You know what that would have accomplished? Nothing. That would have left them one guy less to do with what God was about to do with them. But that was their state of mind. Let's take his life. And can you imagine David? David coming back, his two wives, his kids, his belongings, his city burned, the grieving of his men, these men who he'd been in the battle trenches with, the memories, the tight knit that they had to have together as soldiers and fellow comrades. It would be hard to imagine and understand just the camaraderie that these men had. And oh, how David's soul had to grieve as he watched these men that on the battlefield you would have thought, you know, nobody could contest them. But here they were in this moment of vulnerability, and they're crying and they're weeping and they're sorrowing to the point they don't even know how to communicate their own heart. And David is so grieved for their pain, and then they turn on him and want to kill him. Can you imagine how David felt in that moment as the men turn their attention to him? Have you ever been thrown under the bus in a situation? Yeah. It's like the couple in Texas, and they had been married for many, many years, and they really never really got along, and over the years it seemed to progressively get worse, and the husband just about had enough. And they had gone to the bank one day, and they were running some errands and so forth. And while they were there in the bank together, all of a sudden, just like that, boom, people came in with masks on and everything and guns drawn, and they were robbing the bank. And they were shouting for all the people to look down and to stand still and not to do anything. And they came in and started barking orders and telling the tellers to fill the bags full of money and to get everything ready just the way they wanted. And boy, everybody froze and looked down and was just scared to death. And finally, they got what they came for, and they began to run out. And while they did, a brave Texan that was there as a customer, as one of the last ones ran out, reached over, and he lifted the mask that he had on. Instinctively, that robber turned around and shot that person. As he looked over at the bank of tellers, he thought he saw somebody hitting the panic button, calling the police, and he shot that person. Now everybody was scared to death and looking down and didn't know what would be next. And he kind of looked at everybody and he said, well, did anybody else see me? And it was just silent. I mean, you could hear a pin drop, and all of a sudden that old boy in the back, keeping his head down, but kind of raised his hand and said, sir, I didn't, but I think my wife got a good look at you. And sometimes you feel like, man, I just got thrown under the bus, you know? And sometimes we feel discouraged. Amen. David felt that for sure. Yeah. So what did David do? The Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. One commentator said, here's one of the many eloquent buts in the Bible. It was all looking bad, gloomy, and down, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. He hit rock bottom, but in that hour, he knew there was no place else to turn, no better place to turn than the Lord Jesus Christ. Who else could help him? David knew his help could come from the Lord above. The Bible says in Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Yeah. Now, listen, all of us are going to face seasons of discouragement. All of us are going to face situations where it's not going the way we want it to go, or we don't understand why it's happening this way. And we can say, listen, I don't understand this, but can I encourage you this morning? God will never fail you. Amen. I love the special this morning because it fits the message. The God of the day is the God of the night. You may not be able to watch him work, but he's still working. You may not see what he's doing, but he's still doing something. You may not understand what's happening, but God is always accomplishing his will and his work in our life. David said, boy, I can be encouraged in the Lord because I know God is on my side. And sometimes God puts you and I in a spot in life because he wants you and I to have no place to look but him. It's easy to see God from the flat of your back. And sometimes God allows us to get knocked down in life because it realigns our focus. Right. He's the author and finisher of my faith. Right, my eyes are to be set on him as a flint. I'm to hold the plow and not to look back. I'm to set a course and not to turn from side to side. I want to be following the Lord faithfully with my life. And God allowed this moment in David's life to realign his focus. Hey, look at me. And God had David's full attention. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does that mean? And I love the next couple of verses because I believe it outlines for you and I what we should do in a season of discouragement and how we should be encouraged that we might go forward in the work that God has given to us. First of all, notice the person that David goes to in verse number 7. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now, who does David go to? David goes to the priest. Now, David had been friendly with the priest. That was something he was known for in his whole kingdom work. And he had been respectful to Abiathar because Saul had ordered for all the priests to be slain. Abiathar escaped and came to David. And David had been harboring him and helping him. And so David, in this moment of distress, goes to the man of God. And can I encourage you, in a season of discouragement, go to the man of God. Go to someone with spiritual maturity and discernment who's been a little further down the road, who has a greater knowledge of the Word of God, who's going to help guide you according to the principles of the Word of God, who truly will help you. David said, you know, I'm feeling pretty down right now. My own men want to kill me. I think my wife and kids are dead. All my belongings are gone. I don't know that I could get any lower. I'm going to go talk to the preacher. Amen. He went and saw the priest. He was looking for someone who could help him in the way of the Lord. When you contrast David and Saul, Saul often missed the spiritual advantages that God gave him. David took advantage of them. In fact, if you contrast this story, and it's interesting as you study chronologically, it appears that almost on the same day, King Saul was going to find a witch to get his marching orders, and King David went to the man of God. And you study the end of that story, and you have one ending in great victory and one ending in terrible defeat. Well, what's the difference there? Who are you going to? And I just want to encourage you, church, when you're in a season of discouragement, you're vulnerable. You are impressionable. And you need to be very guarded who has influence, who has entrance into your life. Who are you going to? Because if we're looking for someone who agrees with us, they're easy to find. But if we're looking for someone who will speak the truth in love to us, sometimes we've got to search a little deeper. My daddy taught me growing up, Gabe, who older than you and wiser than you agrees with what you're doing. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. In the multitude of counselors, something is established. Hey, are we getting counsel from the right places? David said, I'm going to the man of God. And I'm asking the man of God to bring me the ephod. Now, the ephod was the priestly device for determining the will of God. It referred to an ornament vest that the high priest wore. And it set them apart. It was a garment just for them. And it was as they went into the golden altar of prayer, they would would wear this ephod, and it had two stones on each shoulder, and on them engraved the 12 tribes of Israel, six on one shoulder and six on the other. And the ephod was symbolic, as the priest would wear it, into the covenant of prayer that the will of God would be bestowed and he would give it to the people. Church family, can I encourage you this morning? In a season of discouragement, we've got to go to the man of God. David said, I got to go to the priest, and then get me the ephod. Get me the tool for determining the will of God. You know what that is for you and I this morning? The precious word of God. Listen, when you and I are in a season of discouragement or despair, or we don't know what's next, what do we need to do? We need to be in church more. We need to be in the word of God more. We need to be under preaching more. We need to be talking to the man of God more. We need the tools to determine the will of God. David said, I'm discouraged. I'm low. I know how I feel inside. And the only hope I have is the will of God. Amen. So I have to go to the priest. We've got to get the ephod. And we have to determine with certainty, what does God want me to do? And I think for you and I in our context today, God has given you and I a pastor. I believe there are two types of people in the world. There are pastors and there are people who help pastors. I've had the privilege of my whole life of helping a pastor. And I love pastors. And I thank God for pastors. And God has given you here at Anchor Baptist Church a faithful pastor for 29 years. Amen. And God gives pastors extra insight and discernment. Yes. Right. I'm ever amazed being around my pastor. And he'll say, I think twice about that. And I'm thinking, what, you don't even know the situation. What are you talking about? I mean, I've checked this thing three ways and four ways backwards. You know, it's going to be fine. 2 weeks later, it's exactly what he said. And you're just like, what in the world, you know? He's got a back channel on it or something. I don't know, you know? But you know what it is? God gives a pastor that shepherd instinct and a special insight and discernment to help the people God has given them to lead. So in a season of discouragement, we want to go to that person, and we want to go to the Word of God, and we want to go in our time of prayer, and we want to discern, what does God have for us? And now see what this produces in verse number 8 in David's life. And so David goes to Abiathar. He gets the ephod. And now, verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? After he has gone to the right person, now he's gone to his prayer closet, and he's asking God, God, what do you want me to do? Listen, when you and I are going through a season of discouragement, we want to make sure we're going to the right person. We want to make sure we're spending time in prayer, that we are asking God, Lord, what is your will? David was discerning, Lord, is this what you want me to do? David sought God and wanted his perfect will for his life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. In thee do I wait all the day. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. David said, listen, God, I'm discouraged. You tell me what to do. Amen. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to follow you. He said, Lord, whatever your will is, that's going to be my response. Right. That was his heart in the prayer closet. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'll do it. Sometimes in a season of discouragement, we begin to be self-preservation. We, for some reason, in a moment of discouragement, we almost become fearful of God. Like, we have to protect ourselves and our interest from God, because evidently he doesn't know what he's doing, because he allowed me to go through this hardship that I don't like. So I can't trust him anymore. So now I've got to take this on myself to navigate me through it. Then I can come back into a relationship with God. Wrong.
Right. That's right.
It's a mistake to think that because something came into your life that you didn't like, that God went, took a nap. The fact of the matter is, nothing comes into my life that didn't pass God's desk first.
Amen.
Nothing comes into my life that God did not give the green light for.
Right.
So anything that I face, as much as I may not like it, as painful as it may be, as much as I never thought I'd be in that situation, every bit of it has been approved by God.
Amen.
So God intends to use it in my life, and all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so God has a purpose in it. I've got to trust him, and I've got to have the spiritual fortitude to come back to God in the prayer closet and say, God, I don't really understand this. To be honest with you, I don't really like it, but I know you're in charge.
Amen.
I know you love me. I know you have a will for me, so I'm going to do what you want me to do.
Yes.
Try me. Know me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Guide me, and I will follow you. That was David's heart in the prayer closet. Now watch what God does. So, Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered. By the way, aren't you grateful we pray to a God who answers?
Amen.
There's a lot of people. Isn't it sad that people in our country are more committed to error than we are to truth? Isn't it sad that there are people all over our country at a certain hour will take a prayer rug and lay it in a certain direction and begin to pray to a God who's not even alive? Where no answers come? But you and I pray to a God, the Bible just says, and he answered him. You and I pray to a living God who rose again on the third day, who still is answering prayer and changing lives. And when you and I pray, he answers, friend. Don't forget that. So he prayed, and God answered, and look what he said. Pursue. I love that word. And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Wow. What a promise. Man, how in the world did David lead these men and overtake these Amalekites and lead this great victory? Because in the secret place of his prayer closet, alone with God, he said, God, my life is yours. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. And God said, son, I'm with you. I'm going to give you a victory. You're going to win. You're going to recover all, and you will not fail.
Amen.
And no wonder he had such confidence. What would Anchor Baptist Church look like if everybody did what they did for the Lord with the promise that it will not fail and that God will give you all? What would it look like if we had the confidence of the creator of the universe behind everything that we were doing? Where does that come from? By the way, you know what the word encourage means? To put courage in. David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does that mean? David put courage in his inner being by being with the man of God, seeking the ephod and the will of God, being in the prayer closet with God, and God said, pursue, and David said, I'm going.
Amen.
Courage was in his heart, and he was ready to go. God gave him an incredible promise. For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And all crisis does is it doesn't make a man, but it reveals what is inside of him. And may it find that you and I are walking with the Lord. So then what is the result of this? Look at verse number 9. So David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, and when they were left behind, stayed. But David pursued, he and 400, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. And so David, or God says to David, I want you to pursue. You're going to win. David begins to lead the men that get to the brook. 200 men, the Bible says, are faint. The Hebrew word there, it means they are exhausted or dead tired. They get to the brook and they said, David, we love you. We love the cause. We love the renewed confidence and energy that you have. We can't go. We're tired. David, at that moment, could have said, you know what? Yeah, let's rethink that. You know, there are a lot of Amalekites, last I checked. You guys are staying back. That's just 400 left of us. You know, this may not work. You know, we ought to stay here and think about it. We ought to reconsider. Maybe we could send a reconnaissance unit. Just check it out. There was a moment in the 200 staying behind in the heart of the leader that could have said, mission's off. But even though 200 were faint and they could not pursue, David and the other 400 went on.
Amen.
A church family. There may be some in Anchor Baptist Church that need to be at a brook. There may be some that need to pursue, and you know who you are. But to the pursuers, may I encourage you, it doesn't really matter who's pursuing with you as long as he is.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't get caught up in, well, you know, we were all doing this, and now they're at the brook, and now they're there, and now they're here, and now they're over there, and I don't know who's left here, and I don't know what's going to happen. Listen, all that matters is that you have God.
Amen.
That's all you need. I mean, he spoke the world into existence in six little 24-hour days. He sent fire down from heaven. He crossed the Red Sea. He was in the ground 3 days and three nights, but he rose again from the dead. He can handle it.
Right.
We can serve with him. David had the Lord, and that's all he needed. And so they began to pursue and to follow the leading of the Lord. The Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We can claim the promise, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now look at the assistance that God gives them in verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. So he was famished and worn out. Now he's got some food and some water. And when he had eaten, his spirit came, and he said, he had eaten no bread nor drank any water 3 days and three nights. And David said to him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant in Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. And we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belonged to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. So now this man is recounting to David and his men, I was there. My master, the Amalekite, with the other Amalekites, we were there. We burned your city. Now watch what he says in verse 15. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me in the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. Isn't it interesting that even though 200 said, hey, I need to stay by the brook, and David and the 400 pursued, what did God give them? Someone to affirm the will of God in their life.
Amen.
Oh, it's just a coincidence. The Egyptian was on the same path. They would have found him anyway. I don't think so. That was a divine appointment. God was affirming in the heart of these men, I got you. What I have said, I will do.
Amen.
Don't miss the affirming moments that God has in your life.
Amen.
God may bring someone out of left field in your life that you don't understand why they're there, what they're about to do in your life. That was the story of this Egyptian. But once they got him some food and some drink and they began to listen to him, they soon discovered this man's the key to the whole thing. He's going to take us right to where they are. God put this partner in his path. By the way, can I mention this before we move on? It would have been easy for David to see a man lying by the side of the road, clearly exhausted and malnutritioned and not well kept, and thought in his mind, what's his problem? My home is burned. My wife and children are dead. My men want to kill me. I don't have time for this guy and his problems. I got enough of my own. We're going to move on and do this.
That's a good point.
But he did not.
Good point.
He stopped, and he helped this man.
Amen.
And in turn, that man helped him.
Yes.
Can I encourage you? One of the greatest things you can do in a season of discouragement is go encourage somebody else.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Go find somebody struggling and go be an encouragement to them.
Amen.
Why? Because the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. There's something about being a part of restoring joy or encouragement or benevolence to someone that just invigorates your own heart.
Amen.
David took time to encourage someone, and God blessed him for that.
Amen.
So what happened? Look at verse number 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Basically, David and the men came up on a party. It was a victory party. They were having a time. They had won. And here we go, verse 17. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. God gives David an incredible victory. For 25 hours, they are fighting and killing Amalekites. These are the same guys, 3 days' journey from Aphek to Ziklag. They get to Ziklag, it's burned, wives and children, goods are gone. They're sorrowing until they cannot speak. They want to kill David. Now they go to the brook Besor. 200 can't even make it from there. These 400 that did make it, no doubt, are tired. But when they get there, with the confidence of God and courage put back into their being, all of a sudden, now they can fight for 25 hours.
Amen.
From the twilight of one day to the evening of the next. How do 400 dead dog guys, tired guys, fight for 25 hours and kill thousands of Amalekites? God.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Don't underestimate what a person who's been through a season of discouragement can do with God.
Amen.
David encouraged himself in the Lord. What did he do? With the assistance of the man of God and the word of God, if you will, the ephod, he determined the will of God. He went into the prayer closet and he said, God, I don't understand, but by faith I will follow and obey. And God said to David, son, pursue. And David said, yes, sir. And David went with great confidence, and God gave him a great victory, and God restored those families. I don't know what season of discouragement you're in, have been, or will face, but I want to encourage you as David did. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. And understand this, the greatest days are just ahead. Because when God is in the middle, great things happen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church to consider the promises of your word to us. That yes, we're going to face tough times. We're going to go through seasons of doubt and discouragement, things we don't understand. But you're always there and you're always at work. And if we will be willing, no matter the distress we might be under, to look heavenly and to encourage ourselves in you and to follow the steps that David took, then may through our life great victory be seen in the days ahead. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and no one looking about, just a quick question. How many would say, Brother Rule, as the word of God was preached, God began to reveal some things in my life, maybe some areas of discouragement. And I've seen this morning what David did to resolve that. And I sense God leading me to take care of some things so that I can get him back in his rightful place in the center of my life and that he might accomplish his will and way in my life. Pray with me that with God's help, I would encourage myself the way David did. I'll not embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Just lift up your hand. God spoke to me today, some things in my heart that I need to work through. By God's help, I want to do what David did. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this church and this occasion of 29 years of faithful ministry. I pray that you'd richly bless them and this dear pastor and whatever they may be facing or that they might face in the future. May they follow this prescription. May it put courage in their heart. And may the greatest days of Anchor Baptist Church and of their personal life and fruit be just around the corner. And for this, we promise to praise and thank you in Jesus' name.